In this episode, I sat down with a friend of mine, Bami Imatoy, where we chatted about the benefits of keeping a personal journal. Bami is a stress management and wellness coach with over 7 years of professional experience within the public health sector. Bami holds a master's in public health, and her interest lies more particularly in workplace health and wellness, stress management. On her blog, Flona Hub Health, and on her Instagram channel, she shares ideas, tips, and thoughts on topics related to stress management, work-life balance, productivity, and wellness. If you don't keep a personal journal, maybe this is going to be the episode that brings pen to paper. And if you already do, hopefully we'll give you a few more ideas and tips about using prompts to help de-stress your day. This is your host, Amy Orsno, and welcome to the Transmit Safety Podcast, a podcast that will help you achieve a holistic approach to workplace health and safety with practical solutions introducing new or alternative ways of approach to put that value of safety into action. So fill up that workplace-approved beverage of your choice and tune in to today's episode.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. Do a quick little introduction about yourself.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll go by introducing myself. My name is Bami Imatoy. I am a public health specialist. My area of interest is just in workers' health and stress management. So that's that. So just helping workers, seeing how the health of workers can improve, because work is also responsible for whether or not we have good or bad health.
Mm-hmm. And I follow you on social media. You post quite frequently on Instagram through your kind of your business that talks about stress management and wellness, and that's Flona Hub.
Yes, that's correct.
For those of you who are listening, she is a fantastic reel maker and posts great content, great tips and tricks on stress management, wellness. Now, I'm going to kind of ask a generalized question first and foremost. Let's kick off this interview in a little bit of a way. What are some of the impacts of prolonged stress that people can feel and have on their body?
Okay, so prolonged stress has a lot of detrimental impact on the body. It can result in both physical and mental health issues. So we can have things like headaches, tense muscles, high blood sugar levels, hypertension. And I'm going to just talk a little bit about hypertension. So what happens when we experience stressful situation is that the stress hormone is released, and the major one is the cortisol. So when this is released, it helps the body to respond to the stressors. So it makes the heart to beat very fast. The blood vessels will be thinner. And then it makes the blood pressure to shoot up just for the little while. But what happens if we keep experiencing stressful situations over a prolonged period of time is that the cortisol will continue to be released every now and then. The body can't use that up, you know. So, and because of the effect of that on the blood vessels, because it makes it thin and then increase the blood pressure over time, one can sustain elevated blood pressure. So that's how it can lead to high blood pressure, because the body, the hormone will be released into the bloodstream. It's not as if we need it to, it's not as if the body can use everything up. So if that remains over a period of time, then we can sustain high blood pressure. So it also increases the risk of having depression, sleep difficulty, just to mention a few. So it has a lot of detrimental effect on our health.
You listed quite a few kind of symptoms of prolonged stress that I have been dealing with and have dealt with throughout my profession and throughout my career. But signs and symptoms might show up differently in different people. So what are some kind of common signs of those prolonged stresses? You mentioned hypertension, you mentioned depression, but how do we kind of recognize it within ourselves versus kind of Googling it on Wikipedia? What are some of the other triggers that we might recognize as prolonged stress happening within our bodies?
So one of it is having constant headaches. If you've been stressed over a long period of time, you might discover that you have frequent headaches. Another thing is grinding of the teeth. Sometimes it may be when sleeping or even not when sleeping. You just see that the teeth, you have to be like biting the teeth, grinding it. One can also have dizziness. Another thing can be indigestion. When you eat, you might have constipation, the food might not digest. Sometimes you might have to use the washroom frequently also because that disrupts the digestive process. So these are some of the signs that you may notice that, and these are just the physical signs. You might also see that you have muscle tension. You might also feel tired very frequently and, you know, like almost every time. So these are just some of the physical signs that shows that can help you identify whether or not you're stressed. And if you've gone through stressful situations, you might want to watch out when you start experiencing some of those physical signs. You might want to be on the lookout so that you know that you have to do something to prevent yourself from experiencing the negative effect of stress. So I will also talk about the behavioral signs. So when you experience stressful situations, you might see that you start experiencing some things. You might either be eating too much or eating too little. You might just feel like eating everything you see. That's called stress eating. So some people also snap at everybody. Everybody they see, they just, at any little instance, they just snap at people. Also at that time, there might be constant worry. So if you find yourself worrying every time and you know that you're experiencing something that is new, that is not what you're in control of, then you might want to take a step back and see how you can also manage that. And definitely that affects the level of concentration. So one won't be able to concentrate.
Bumi, did you open up my personal journal and read everything that I have listed on my personal? I feel like you read me there quite significantly. And one of the things that you talk about quite frequently is kind of the importance of journaling and having a professional journal. And I attended one of your journal challenges that you hosted through your social media, and that I really connected with it. It developed kind of some habits of me of being more consistent with my personal journal, not my professional journal, but my personal journal. What are some tips that you might have in order to help somebody to get involved in, you know, personal journaling?
Okay, so I will just share a few. So one thing one needs to understand is this, that there's, you don't need to fix a time. You don't need to say, oh, I want to do the journaling every morning. Maybe your morning you have to get things done, go to work. You don't also need to just feel like I need to do that every night, maybe by 10 p.m. No. So what you want to do is to be flexible. Choose the frequency at which you want to journal. Mm-hmm. So do you want to journal every day? Do you want to journal every week? Do you want to just maybe weekends, you want to see how your week went and those things you want to take out from what happened during the week, what you think you want to improve and things like that. So you don't need to be static. You don't need to say that I must do it in the morning. I must do it every day. You don't need to force yourself that way, because if you do that, you kind of feel like you're putting pressure on yourself. You want to get this done. I understand that we have a lot of things to get done, but you just have to be flexible. Choose the frequency. Do you want to do it daily? Do you want to do it weekly? If you want to do it daily, you can take maybe 5 minutes of your time and just get that done. Maybe you want to do that during your lunch hour, maybe when you get home, maybe when you're set to sleep. You just have to choose the time that works for you. So don't say that I have to wake up 5 a.m. to
not happening
to start writing. Yes, so that won't definitely happen. So you write at a time that is convenient for you. So choose that time. It might be maybe you're just getting home or you're on the bus. You just want to take some notes. You're on the train. So you just have to be flexible with that. Choose a time. And Also, you may want to write about things that pertain to your everyday life. So you just mentioned you write things about like your personal life, not necessarily your professional life. So that's also good. So you don't need to think abstract, like looking for what to write and where to write. You definitely have some things on your mind. So trying to write those things out in your journal can really help. Also, just to make it very convenient for you, you can choose what you want to write on. You can decide, I want to use a pen and paper, or you want to use journaling apps. So we have some journaling apps like Journey, Byte Life, that's BYTELYFE, Day One, Grid Diary. So we have all sorts of journaling apps. So you can try to get one of those if you feel that you prefer to use your phone to keep your writings. And if you think that you just need a paper and a pen, then you don't need to buy something extremely expensive also. So just something.
Go to the dollar store one of those cheap notebooks. I like Moleskine. I'm old school. I like the paper and pen kind of thought process. And I know that my handwriting is so horrible that nobody's going to be able to decipher that but me, because my penmanship just isn't there. But you touched on the fact of like doing it when you want to, not adding it on your to-do list, because creating a personal journal should be beneficial to your mental health, should be something that is helping you de-stress it and not making it another to-do list. What are kind of some key benefits from a stress management perspective, from a health standpoint? What are some key benefits of keeping a personal journal?
Okay, so some of the benefits you've mentioned, one just now that you spoke, is that it helps you de-stress, it helps you lower your stress level, it gives you this mental clarity, you're able to concentrate, you're able to get things done, you're able to solve problems, because when you're going through things and then if you put everything in your head, you will just be thinking, how do I do this? How do I go about this? So if you put them down, it helps you find solutions to some of those problems. So what is happening? What have I done before to address this? Has this happened in the past? What can I do? What are my options? So it helps you identify different ways in which you can solve things, and it frees up your mind, right? So you have this what is called working memory. So you have enough space in your mind, in your brain, to keep relevant things and not things that will bog you down and yet you can't even find solution to them, right? So it helps improve concentration, help find solutions to problems, gives mental clarity, improves our health, because when your mind is free and you're able to like find solution to things, you get some form of relief, right? And also doing that helps with some of these health issues I've listed before, because it helps to decrease our stress levels. So these are some of the ways it can help.
And I know like when I go to do my journal, I kind of have like, I go and get a coffee or I make a beverage and I kind of sit down, I set the scene. Sometimes I light a candle, but I turn my phone off.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have a little bit of like a meditation aspect when I start to do my journaling. And I know it's like, okay, if I get it in my journal, I can park it in my mind. Like you said, my mind can ease off a little bit on that concept, on that aspect. But there are some days where I don't know what to journal, or I'm not certain what to journal. And I know when I joined your prompt challenges, you kind of had some really good, journaling prompts. So I wanted to talk about either the benefits of using journaling prompts, or how can, those prompts that people sign up for, or maybe even get from you, help with the journaling journey?
Okay. So one important use of using prompts is to take away this burden from you. You don't want to sit and you're looking, but yet you have things that you want to express, right? So if you use prompts, it helps easy flow of, you're able to express your thoughts freely. You're able to write everything down freely. It helps make you feel unstuck. You don't feel like, I'm stuck in this place. I don't know how to get out of here. You know, sometimes we kind of feel we're in a bubble, right? And yes, you don't still want to write. You don't know what to write. But so this is where the prompts can actually help. If you have the prompt, you're just to follow some prompts and then you write according to that. And doing with that, you can easily express your thought, take things off your mind. It helps you not to see journaling as a burden. And also you spend less time. So you don't need to think, how do I start? Where do I start from? Okay, this is where I've gotten to. You want to think first of how you want to start, right? So this takes off all of those things. You spend less time because you have prompts guiding you. So it's just like a guide to help you express. It helps you express your thoughts. You don't need to be the one saying, oh, just like I said earlier, you don't want to add, I must journal every day to my to your to-do list, right? You have a lot of things on your list. So adding that, you might want to feel, oh, this is another burden I'm putting on myself. But with the use of prompts, you don't see journaling as a burden. So it helps you with free flow of your thoughts. You're able to express it. It takes that burden off you and you don't feel like you're stuck in a place and don't know what to do. And in doing that, you spend less time.
Mm-hmm. What are some examples of some maybe journaling prompts that are, you know, connected to de-stressing or freeing up your mind? What are some examples of journaling prompts?
Okay, so I will share some. So one is you asking, how did my day go? What went well today? What happened today that didn't go well? Why didn't it go well? What can I do to avoid this in the future? Have I experienced this before? If yes, what did I do to address it? Was I able to resolve the issue with the intervention I put in place? So in sitting and writing all of this, what happened today? Everything didn't go well. Maybe I got late to work and my boss was shouting at me. Have I experienced this before? Probably no. So what caused it? Maybe I didn't get to the bus stop or I didn't get to leave the house on time. What can I do to just avoid this? Maybe next time I want to call and tell them I'll be a bit late, or I want to wake up early, or I want to get going early, or I have to meet the first bus, the bus that comes before the one I go with. You know, like in doing that, you're already providing solutions to whatever you're experiencing. So that's it.
Yeah. And then it kind of, when you're engaging in that situation or the next time you come up on that situation, your mind might go, oh yeah, I've thought about that already. I've decided on different ways to kind of help me tackle that situation. Because the health and safety practitioners, we're sometimes expected to be plugged in like 24/7, 365. We're on call, but not on call. We're supposed to be available whenever the workers are there. And it can be really hard to kind of shut down from that work and life, or have the ability to step away from that workplace stress. So I'm kind of curious about, what are some of the helpful ways that, you know, we could, as health and safety practitioners, try to de-stress after a stressful day, after that major situation of being late and the boss yelling, or the things that didn't go right? What are some of the ways that we can de-stress, or maybe like disconnect a little bit?
Okay, or so to help you, I know, right? So to help you disconnect, you want to find a new hobby. Like if you have something you're interested in, you want to engage in that after work hours. So that takes your mind off the work zone, you know. So that takes your, if you're interested in coloring, if you're interested in painting, you want to do that after the work hours. You want to learn something new. Maybe you want to learn about fashion. You want to learn about lifestyle. You want to learn sewing, you know. So doing something that you're interested in, like finding a new hobby after the work hours and engaging in that, can help take your mind off work. And that's very important, because at that time, you're not sitting and thinking of, oh, what did this person say to me? What am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm supposed to go early and you can't even sleep today. So if you engage in such things, you might just be interested in travel. You might be interested in tech. You might be interested, you know, you find something new you're interested in and then you engage in that after work hours. So another thing you can do is to always take your break, like use your lunch time to refocus on things other than work. Might be, I know most people tend to sit down even during the lunch hour. People that work from home most times don't get to use their lunch time. So I don't know if that is applicable to you.
Yeah, it's like my lunch time, I just open up a different browser on my website or on my computer and I start to look at something else. Or at my lunchtime, oh, somebody in the East Coast is scheduling a meeting and I'm over here in the West Coast. So there's no real lunchtime. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, understanding the importance, I think what you're saying is to like disconnect and change what your mind is focusing on, which isn't...
Yeah, refocus on something.
Which isn't always easy.
And also...
So, yeah, what's that also been?
Yeah, so it's not always easy, but when you engage your mind in something else, you know, you've redirected your thoughts, you've redirected what you're focusing on, and that helps you take your mind off work, really. So also, you want to have like a closing ritual. So, you know, this is psychological kind of. So if you know that this is an activity you do before you close, maybe you're closing your browsers, just like you said now, you said during your break, you're doing this. So if you're closing your browsers, you know that over time, that thing stays in your brain and you know that once this is gone, once I shut this browser down, then the day is ended. So you want to engage in things like that. And if possible, you want to also have a separate device for work and then personal use. So that if you are using maybe you use your desktop for work and then you have to connect it to your laptop or something, and then you use your laptop for your personal use. So, you know, when you take one off, whatever you're using for work, you take it off and you focus on what you're using for personal use. That way you won't be running to reply the email someone just sent to you maybe at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And then you have the next day, right? And yeah, you might want to also add your work hours to your email signature. Okay, so like if I should send you an email now, I'm not expecting you to reply me immediately, right? So I know your work hours. So these are some of the things that can help us take our minds, disconnect from work. There's something I always do most of the time. Once I finish work at 4 p.m., I try to take a walk. So by the time I come back, I take a hot shower. I've forgotten about everything that happened at work. So like I do that very frequently. So I do that and it helps me. It helps me. It takes me out of the work zone and then let me know that I'm now here now. Work is done. So
I have an employee and the listeners probably are very familiar with my employee of the month, Sir Reginald. AKA Reggie, is very good at checking out at the end of the day. In fact, I don't know how he knows, but at about 4 o'clock, you can hear his little nails coming up the stairs. And he says, it's the end of the day. It's time for our walk. Yeah. So really great kind of example. And I find when I'm out in a walk, it just helps me completely reset. I've pulled away from the desk. I try not to bring my phone when I go for a walk. So then that way I'm not checking messages. And I loved your comment about having a work phone and a personal phone, which may or may not be, economically available to people. But one time I was talking with somebody and they said, oh, well, you know, I just have the one phone. But what I do every day at the end of the day is I delete my work email app off of my phone. And I went, oh, wow. Okay, well, that's interesting. And they said, yeah, because I knew that the app was there and I turned off the notifications and I turned off all of the alarms, but I knew that I could be checking in. So he said, yeah, I just deleted the app every day and it was just part of my end of the day routine and start of the work routine. And I found that really interesting
and nice.
Beneficial for them to disconnect. Now, when we talk about kind of disconnecting from work and, you know, self-care and being a little bit maybe aware of where we are from a self-awareness perspective, how can that kind of impact our relationships? How much of an effect does that have with our home relationships, with our life, if we don't find ways to disconnect, if we're carrying this kind of chronic prolonged stress throughout all of our other interactions?
Okay, so I love the fact that you mentioned relationships, because that's going to impact the way, the time you have to manage your relationships, to engage in your relationships, whether with your spouse, kids. It limits the time you have to do those things, like to maybe time you have to go for dinner, time you have to talk with your spouse, time you have to like play with your kids, you know, take your pet out, whatever it is. So that's one of the impacts. You have limited time to do things that you enjoy. And you kind of want to feel guilty that, oh no, I should be using this time to maybe try to get many things done. And if you look at it in the real sense, you stay longer trying to get things done. And that's one of the ways it impacts it. So your productivity level will be actually low. You find out that you spend a whole lot of time doing something, and then at the end of it, like the result, it's just minimal. And talking about self-care, you definitely won't have time to do things for yourself. It may not be you going for massage or something. It could be you having time to yourself. Maybe you want to read about maybe medical tests or health checkup for females that are good for women. It takes that away from you. So how do you know how to care for yourself? Because you mentioned personal, doing your personal things the other time too, and this is one of it. So you setting time aside for self-care, whether you want to meditate, whether you want to read your spiritual books, whatever you choose as self-care, whether you want to go and make your hair, you want to get your nails done, you know, that thing, that activity that you do that contributes to you being appreciative of your self-worth, you feel, yeah, this is valuable to me. Yeah, I'm more aware of myself. I have a life outside of work, so that I can do. So that's how it impacts. It prevents us from engaging in all of those things that can also improve our quality of life. Okay, so because that's very important. You know, you might not be extremely rich and still have a very good quality of life, because that's what really matters. So it takes away these opportunities from one will be buried just in the work, and you don't even get to, like now the weather is very good, so you want to take opportunity of what the weather is now, what we are enjoying now. The weather is very good now, so like you take walk, you want to go out, you take fresh air, you move along green areas and things like that. This helps us remain calm. And if we are just buried in this work and not being able to disconnect, so definitely our productivity will be very slow. We won't really be able to think clearly. You find out that sometimes if you go on a walk and then you come back, you see that you will automatically reset. And then when you carry something to read, the rate at which you'll be able to get done with what you want to do will be much faster than you sitting and saying, oh, I want to spend the next 3 hours. I still want to add maybe 2 more hours to what I'm doing. And then you just sit there wasting a lot of time and not getting things done.
What should have taken a half an hour has taken 2 hours because you can't sit there and focus because of all of these other factors. And I know when I was working in camp, I've had a very hard time kind of shutting down for the day because we were, you know, captured. I think the terminology is captured workers. You're staying in camp. You're not at home. You're not able to do that regular life cycle. So I had to think about some of those kind of self-care routines that I was doing at home and saying, well, how can I do that you know, in this remote work environment. And that was maintaining my workout routine, making sure I brought in the books that I wanted to read, and kind of holding the line about like, yeah, I'm in camp, but doesn't mean I need to stay in the work office for extra time period.
Yep.
And when we think about, yeah, you know, all of these factors of stress and connecting into it, I wanted to kind of make that connection to having a really good, you know, professional resource as well, that in a professional network to know who you can call and maybe, you know, talk about on the phone, who you can share aspects with. And we met through a professional network. We met through the Women of Occupational Health and Safety. So I'm so glad that we made that connection through that professional organization. Yeah. And
same here, Amy. I'm so happy meeting you.
I think it's about, you know, connecting within the types of relationships that we want to have within our lives, and which ones are helping us de-stress or maybe adding in that stress as well.
Adding more. So you can take that off.
Yeah. Now, if we have listeners who are kind of curious about learning about more journaling prompt, and you talk about all things kind of stress management on your social media. I saw a post about, you know, if you find that you're calling your friend 5 days in the week about the same topic, what do you do? Is that a sign that you need to talk about something with somebody else? Yep. You have some great tips about, you know, that the mom life aspect and how to deal with that. So if somebody wanted to connect with you, find you on social media, contact you directly, what are some of the ways that maybe our listeners can connect with you?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to connect with me is through Instagram. My handle is Flona Hub. So that's FlonaHub. And then one will always find things that will be beneficial that they can apply to their lives to improve their ability to disconnect from work, help them identify when they're going through stressful situations. Also, how to tips for them to be able to manage stressful situations, and tips beneficial to improving their health at work too. So Instagram is like the best place.
I love Instagram. It's a little, although speaking about like stress management and time management, I do have to sometimes set a timer on my phone to say like, okay, you can't get sucked into Instagram, but it is a really great resource for finding new information, connecting with new people. And I'm also going to make sure in the show notes to include a link to your journaling prompts as well. So for anybody who's curious about some of those journaling prompts that we talked about earlier, make sure that you check out the show notes, and I will provide a link directly so where you can download them.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So officially, that could be the end of the episode. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about more? Is there anything that you wanted to expand on and we can put back into place? Or how was that for you? And I'll keep the recording going just in case we, you know, start to talk about something that we want to include.
Yeah, so that's fine. Just when you mentioned Instagram, I was just going to see that you can actually set the time you use on Instagram. I think there's an advance, they modify their features now. So you can set a timer so that it tells you you've spent the number of minutes you're supposed to spend on Instagram. And then that's where self-regulation also comes in, right? Mm-hmm. So do you want to continue, or you want to just take a step back and like, I've spent 30 minutes and that's it. So because that's another thing that takes away our ability to manage life and then balance it with work. So even disconnecting from work too. So social media, technology, keeping a life tech balance, so to say.
And I've found that when I'm stressed, I have a tendency to want to disconnect and scroll. I call it doom scrolling. So whether or not I'm doom scrolling on LinkedIn or Instagram or Imgur, or if I'm, you know, in a Reddit forum, I find that if I'm spending a lot of time on social media, that's a trigger for me. And I kind of journal prompt about like how much time am I wanting to be on social media? Because that's a trigger for me that maybe my stress is getting a little bit higher because I don't want to deal with what's in front of me. I don't want to, you know, deal with the stress. I just want to disconnect. And, you know, that's something that I've had to pay attention to.
And it's a good thing that you paid attention to that. You're able to identify when your stress level is beyond the normal, where you've been able to know that, okay, when I see myself just scrolling through social media, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram, then I know there's something up. I need to take a step back and then find out to resolve it, which is good. And that's why we have to, you know, pay self-awareness. That's also part of self-awareness. You want to pay attention to yourself, be aware of it. Is it that when I'm stressed, I eat a lot? Do I scream a lot? Do I sleep a lot? Do I just go to social media and just go from one page to another, trying to avoid what I need to resolve? So yeah, that's a good one on your part.
So being able to be able to reflect and go, okay, well, what are these triggers that are causing this? And then maybe using those journal prompts to reflect a little bit deeper on what is causing that requirement to do it.
Yeah.
That's excellent. It. Well, I hope that you had a good time. I hope that it went well for you.
Yes, I did.
It was quick. Yeah. I hope you thought it was easy. And I'm looking forward to kind of sharing your tips and your takeaways with everybody who has been listening to the episode.
Thank you so much, Amy.
You've reached the end of another episode brought to you by Transmit Safety with your host, Amy Arsenault. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've enjoyed the episode, connect with me on social media. You can find all the links at transmitsafety.com. And make sure to check out Flona Hub Health for 75 unique journaling prompts to help you express your thoughts, feelings, and to relieve stress. Until next time,